Hey, you are listening to The Workplace Leader. This is the podcast where we go behind the scenes of corporate real estate, talking to industry experts about how they shape the next generation workplace. I'm your host, Sabine M., and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Melanie Mack. Melanie is head of CRE technology EMEA at JLL. Hi, everyone. Today I'm with Melanie Mack. We met, I think, a year ago in London. She was facilitator at a CRE technology seminar and I loved it. So that's why I reached out to her and asked her to join me here. And also because I know she has some incredible insights she can share. So hi, Melanie.
Hello.
Happy to have you.
Thanks for having me. And I can't believe it's been 2 years already and that I was actually able to make a CRE technology seminar interesting over 2 days. So kudos to the group at Cornet for allowing that.
It was also a really nice venue. I remember we had a view of St. Paul's Cathedral. So
it was gorgeous.
It was an amazing spring day in May in London. So yeah, I have vivid memories of it. But to kick this off, can you tell our audience, because I do know, what you do and what your professional background is?
Sure. So I have been involved in CRE technology for the last 12 years, and currently I am head of our CRE app technology at JLL when running EMEA. So I run all of Europe and the UK, Middle East, Africa. And what we do is we have different CRE technology vendors, and we also make our own software as well. And we work with clients to sell and also implement the technology to help our clients with anything from space optimization to return to work, which is a super hot topic. You know, it's really kind of brought relevancy to what we do in CRE technology. And also looking at ways for the client to increase their proficiency and efficiency in their lease management and their portfolio management, and also helping to manage new projects coming up with their buildings.
Yeah, I think we're going to tap into some of that return to work things later, because that's the hot topic currently for everyone. Your stakeholders typically are corporates, I'm assuming. And then within that organization, who do you work and collaborate with? Who are your clients?
So because we typically sell enterprise solutions, and that means that we're selling and we're serving more than one problem statement with the technology, I typically talk to the C-suite, and we also work with their IT organizations as well. But a lot of the times what we're seeing is we're seeing an increased interest in, you know, individuals from estate planning, especially in the higher education sector. But we do typically talk to our C-suite individuals and really any clients within the organization that manage the portfolio. So it could be the real estate director or it could be the facilities manager. So there really is no kind of cookie cutter buying persona on who we typically work with, because you see buying influencers at all different levels within the organization for CRE technology. Because with CRE tech, you can either look at it from enterprise, as I said a couple minutes ago, or you can look at it as a point solution approach, which means you're solving one problem. So remember, these are some of the Cornet themes that we discussed as well. So it really just depends who you're talking to, what problem we're trying to solve, and what level of the organization we're going to be tapping into from there.
Yeah. I would say there are typical challenges that you are facing in these conversations and projects.
So the typical challenge is always a price point. You know, I think the market has become even more price sensitive, and you have seen an emergent of new players. And we certainly can see that. And when we look at research such as Verdantix or Gartner, so when we're looking to solve and identify these types of challenges, it's A, price point, and B, it's speed to market as well. So right now, as we're seeing a new theme over the past year of returning to work, what solution is going to be able to be deployed quickly? Because CRE technology, one of the pieces of CRE technology or the kind of the main product suites is something called IWMS. And it's integrated workplace management systems. And these systems, those are your enterprise. These are your Mercedes of real estate management software solutions. You know, they can be equivalent to something like an SAP, but with real estate functionality. Many of them have financial reporting capabilities in them as well. So it depends, again, on what they're looking for. But right now, it's price point and speed to market.
Yeah. And would you say that organizations, because you get exposure among a couple of enterprises, industry, and so on, that there is different levels of data readiness when it comes to having either the Mercedes or the point solution?
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that I've seen in the past 5 years is that clients and companies have been becoming a lot more data proficient. So whereas before we might have seen a lot of data calculated and collated in Excel spreadsheets, where we then have to kind of do a quality check on that, upload it in the system. And you know, the saying is bad data in is bad data out. So what you're putting into the system is what it's going to report. But it is impressive because you do see, similarly to JLL, we've taken on our own internal initiative where we have a data management group that collates all of our kind of big data and is now trying to turn it into business intelligence so that we at JLL and also our clients can make more informed decisions. So I have seen a little bit of a shift over the past 5 years in terms of the level of data that clients have and how well or not it is organized.
Yeah. And then one thing that's for me really interesting is you have an outside perspective, because I typically talk a lot to corporate real estate people who are in the corporate real estate organization. Where do you think you have a different perception than someone who's within it?
I think it's because we work with a lot of different providers, and we have, and I have done for 12 plus years. And so we have experience and knowledge that has breadth and depth to it. And what I mean by that is that we're interviewed at JLL quite often as subject matter experts for Verdantix or Gartner. We're regular contributors on these kind of thought-leading industry publications. We also have our own internal marketing and research team as well. So we're really at the forefront in terms of understanding what the market trends are doing, where they're going, and how we can be influential at JLL, whether it's through our product suites or our services or even our just our core brokerage or real estate offerings, to be able to take clients on that journey. So it's not a one stop at this point. We're really trying to identify where they're at now, because, you know, what we've seen with CRE technology over the past 10 years is it's become this really quite big concept. And what I mean by that is we have the application of sensors or Wi-Fi triangulation or devices or pucks that can charge your phone, but also track, you know, that you've logged into that desk and place a certain ticket for return to work and cleaning. And so there's this really kind of evolution of all things that we call smart and CRE technology. And what does that mean? And that is different for every client. It's different for where they are on their journey, and it's different for where they want to go as well. But just being able to be a bit unbiased and look across all of the solutions certainly that we offer, but also tapping into our market knowledge across the industry as a whole and being able to take that very large concept of what a smart building, a smart offering is, and pare it down to something that's a bit more palatable for clients.
Yeah. But now you've already mentioned it. You are at the heartbeat of the trends. So which business initiatives do you see driving the real estate strategy? And I imagine there's currently a big difference between short-term and long-term strategies.
Definitely. So short-term, it's all about return to work and identifying the space that's currently available, how it's laid out, visitor management. So making sure that there is a very safe transition back into the office and that there are protocols that you can attach to it for cleaning and people, to the extent of you can for GDPR, are able to be identified in terms of the space that they're going to be managing when they enter or occupy in the building again. So short term is all about returning to work and maintenance, I would say, like additional maintenance functionality, because we have things that we're looking at for COVID prevention spreading, like ensuring that HVAC has an increased quality of standard and identifying preventative maintenance to make sure that there are plans in place to have all of the offices and ready, the offices equipped to be able to accommodate workers coming back in, whether that's through additional cleaning protocols or educating employees. So short term is, again, it's just getting people back into the office. But when we look at long term, what we're certainly seeing is we're seeing a potential move towards space optimization and portfolio optimization. And what I mean by that is it's almost quite certain that there's a different approach to the way we work. So we've all gone through this working from home experiment. You're home. I'm home right now as well. I have two dogs. Thank goodness that they're not barking while I'm on the call, but that's a new reality. And as we embark on this adventure to return back into the office, we have done research at JLL, both within our internal teams and our external teams. And there is a percentage of up to 60%+ of people that will still want to work from home in some certain capacity. And so that type of data point really will drive what companies choose to do with their portfolio. And so I think we're going to see a move from, you know, your traditional one headquarter type of offering to more of a hub and club approach. So you may still have the Canary Wharf. I'll say that because I worked in Canary Wharf in JLL in our Bank Street office. You may still have one of those headquarters, but because a lot of our team members also are moving out of the city, you'll start to see some of these hubs in the city. And then you'll see these clubs outside of the city where people can still go meet for more of a social engagement. So long term, it's actually the way that we're working as opposed to how we're working. And I think that the CRE management before was how we're working. How are we occupying the space? And now it's about the ways in which we work together and really amplifying the theme of human experience. And I think we'll see a shift from people move just going to the office and working from 9 to 5 at a desk because they need to show other people FaceTime that they're there. And then not even really interacting with many people except for a, hey, hello, how are you at the water cooler. And so we're going to see these spaces that will be redesigned with big data collection points, with data collection points to show where and how people want to congregate and where they want to work.
You could even say the myth of the water cooler moment's busted, right? There's always been this big idea that people need to meet over the water cooler for innovation to happen, for ideas to flow. And I'm going out on a limb here, but I think in the past year, innovation and ideas have not stopped flowing, although people did not have water cooler moments.
They did not stop flowing, but I do think that creating those moments that matter become a bit more difficult, especially when you're looking at helping new team members to become a part of a culture. Building a community is not impossible remote, because I've worked remote for the better part of 10 years now. And at least for me, when we went into lockdown, it was something that was quite stable and very familiar to me. So it was a very good rock for me in that sense. But we're certainly seeing, you know, a difference in terms of how we try to create those moments that matter. And I don't know how many people have done the virtual pub quiz, but after the fifth one, it gets a little bit mundane.
Yes. It's funny that you said it. We had that as well. And at the beginning, we were really doing it every week. And now it's like every other month or so. So yeah, you get a little tired of it. Now, coming back to the future workplace environment, you mentioned this interesting hub and club concept. And I've heard that before, the clubhouse idea. What do you think, how will that environment look like? What will be in there? Because I'm assuming it won't necessarily be desks.
So it'll be more collaborative spaces. So spaces that are engaging, more kind of social areas, maybe open roundtable type of approaches. You'll still always have conference rooms just so you're not disruptive, but it'll be more of a collaborative space. If you think of kind of WeWork offices, you know, it's certainly more of the open concept, but I think less desk and space oriented and more of a location where people want to go to have that physical connection and engagement, which does improve productivity and does foster relationships through networking and things like that. So it still is directly related to, again, how we work. But yeah, we would look at more collaborative type spaces, spaces that are engaging, that you feel comfortable in, spaces that are also productive to creativity, not just rows and rows of desks, and you go in and you book one and then you go sit for 9 hours a day and have a stroll at lunch and grab a Pret Niçoise salad or something.
In our prep call, you've mentioned that you recently at JLL conducted a survey on remote work and that you could share some of the highlights of it.
Sure. So when we looked at the trending for remote working, it was based over, obviously, the day to month of, you know, that most of Europe and the UK went into lockdown. And what we identified is that employee well-being certainly took a hit. I don't think that's any surprise there. But JLL also went and did quite a lot of employee initiatives to try and improve the employee well-being and promoting parent and caregiving type programs as well. I think a lot of organizations did that. But now as we start to see some light at the end of the tunnel with the vaccines coming out, regardless of, you know, where people sit on the fence with that, that will have an impact on how and when we can return to work again. And JLL identified that still a majority of the workforce is going to want to work from home anywhere from an upwards of 2 to 3 days a week. And so what that means is that you will still have 60 to 70% of your portfolio at any given day of your team members that will be in the office, and then you'll have a remainder of those people that still want to work from home. You'll have these different shift pattern approaches because until everybody is fully vaccinated with the double shot or the single Johnson & Johnson, you'll still have to have those social distancing parameters when you're looking to return to work and making procedures and plans on your entire journey from the time you leave the house, you know, through utilizing the elevator and making sure that you don't have queues. So what we really identified is that the majority of the workforce will still want to stay home, that they have found that this has been a shift that was welcomed. You know, they're not having to travel 2 hours a day on a tube into London. They can spend that time going to the gym or with their families. And also having another key finding was having a flexible and agile type of workday. So this is something that I've always operated with my teams. You know, we don't run a 9-to-5. As long as the teams accomplish their work, then it doesn't really matter. But with people working from home and having to provide care for their parents or being a caregiver or a parent as well, they have found out that having a flexible work schedule so that they can be home and take their kids to school and be back to the desk by 9:30 and then maybe, you know, pick the kids up again at 2:30 or 3 or do whatever they need to do as a caregiver as well has made a tremendous improvement on their lifestyle and their well-being as well.
Now, for the return to work, you touched upon it briefly, but maybe we can go a bit more into details. Which tools and processes do you think have to be implemented to support that journey back in the office building?
So just keeping it very simple, resource booking. And a resource can be anything from a desk to a room to a collaborative space area. So that's the first thing that you need to have is some type of space management tool where you know which desks are being occupied to the social distancing parameters and that they are booked and that you can take that data in some respects and use it, as I indicated earlier, for maintenance planning, whether it's having the system automatically book a cleaning ticket before or after. And then visitor management. So we have quite a lot of applications that have a visitor management protocol set up, which helps to identify when people come into the building. But also, a lot of the products that we work with have created new applications within the visitor management tool that goes through a series of questionnaires. It can also be touchless. You can tap in via your mobile. Data can be collected that way, as long as you allow it. But identifying and being able to have traceability of who is coming in and out of the building has been absolute key.
Yeah. Do you think that you will need that in the long term still? Or will that go away afterwards?
There will always be the need for the room and desk booking. And I think and we look at the long-term solution that I talked about earlier, where we're moving into more collaborative spaces, you will still need that even to a greater extent. If we have this data point that shows that people still want to work from home when they're even able to go back into the office, this just points us in the direction that solutioning moving forward will really need to be key to make sure that you have ample space to fit the amount of people that want to go back, and or that the space that you currently have can then dictate how many people can go into the building. So making sure that you have that booking engine to monitor and manage that process will be key as a long-term initiative. You're also seeing within the CRE technologies a lot of analytics. So a lot of smart analytics that have a very powerful reporting engine on top of your kind of basic out-of-the-box standard reporting, such as how many people booked a desk? How many people showed up today? What is the peak utilization? What is the average utilization across 4 months, across a day, that allows them to make better portfolio management decisions?
Moving a step further for the hybrid workplace, which has been a buzzword, whether you call it hybrid or future of work or whatever, how should organizations prepare for that? And I understand that, I mean, corporate real estate had a hard time with CRE technology. It's been a long journey, and oftentimes you need to, I mean, that's exactly what you taught us. You need to integrate it within an existing IT landscape in the company, which can be complicated. And then you'd always have to get other stakeholders on board for solutions. So what can they do now?
That's a good question and a difficult one, because there's no kind of general response. It's always based on what the current initiatives are. But
yeah,
the most important thing is identifying the starting point in the plan and making sure that you have enough time. So I am so slammed right now with organizations contacting us or working with my team or our sales team as we help to solution what that journey looks like, return to work. So what I mean is making sure you have enough time is because if you're planning to go back to the office on April 15th and you're talking to us now, that's going to be quite difficult. You know, it is a process. And then there are certain underlying data points that you want to make sure that you have available, like such as HR employee data files, you know, obviously GDPR protected and things like that, so that you can load that type of data into the system, making sure that your CAD files, your drawings are clean and up to date, so that if you do need to deploy a solution, you can just make sure that your floor plans are activated within a solution, and then you can take it from there to show on the layout who can sit where and develop shift patterns and such if you need to. So I think just knowing what your time scale is and being realistic about that, and B, making sure that your input data is clean and ready.
Well, I wanted to ask as well, is in the beginning, you said that CRE technology has become increasingly important in the past year because suddenly technology was what we were relying on to get our work done. Do you see that CRE organizations are actually either educating their staff or adding staff who have more of a data background, who have a data scientific approach to things to understand better what's going on?
Absolutely. And it's because a lot of the tools and even homegrown, you know, internal tools have this very strong either BI capability or data analytics capability or both on top of them. And so similar to JLL, we just created our own management data science team a year ago to look at almost every data point that JLL works with and seeing how we can not necessarily monetize that, but identify further trends that we can use to slim down, simplify what we offer to clients. And then we have data points that back that decision up. So yes, organizations are definitely becoming more data driven.
Yeah. And then in line with that, with the new workplace models around the corner, people working from home 2 to 3 days minimum, how should companies measure the success of their workplace?
So I think that success of the workplace is also a definition and a success criteria that has changed. And because before, the success of the workplace was less about employee engagement and more about cost and space management and space optimization, all related to, you know, the underlying decisions that will happen on a portfolio. But now what we're seeing, and this even ties to talent acquisition and where people want to go work, is in these spaces that are engaging and in organizations that focus on the human experience. And so when we were doing the Cornet, seminar for the 2 days, we looked at this, the smart building, and we also looked at trends and new emerging technologies. So, you know, employees really like to, especially now, have a day that they can seamlessly on their phone, like an Apple, for example, open it up within a few clicks, make sure that their day and their journey is safe and planned out. But when we are able to go back to some type of regular working day, it will be centered around human experience and employee engagement, because that's something, A, that we were already seeing before COVID hit and we went into quarantine and lockdown for essentially a year and a half now. So we were already seeing that trend with additional mobile applications being built and smart technologies with sensors and allowing you to be able to order your lunch in the canteen before you even get into the office and order your coffee in your office, things that you can do with Starbucks, et cetera, already that kind of make your day a little bit easier, that improve your experience as a human. And the same type of trends as what we saw pre-COVID, and we will certainly continue to see that as we move into this maybe hub and club type of approach with collaborative, cool spaces. And it dictates where people want to work. And so the C-suites are really taking this seriously now because it affects talent acquisition and it affects tenure. It affects well-being of employees and the bottom line at the end of the day through managing their assets.
Asset management is actually a good cue, and the hub and club prompt let me think about that again. How will you determine space demand for the future? And how does office planning need to develop in that regard?
So the space planning has always been something that's been quite core to the foundation of CRE technology. You know, it's kind of the bread and butter of what this technology does. Even when you look at the enterprise solutionings within the integrated workplace management systems, but almost every deal that we work on now is space and maintenance. And we certainly do see lease management still, but space is really at the forefront because it is identifying your current portfolio, how it's being managed, how much it costs you, how each individual space is being utilized. And you can slice and dice that data. And this relates back to, you know, the data points that we just discussed a little bit ago. You can really manage that data to be able to make a lot of very intelligent decisions on what you're going to do, what organizations want to do with their portfolio. And because you'll see certain trends within that data, and you can look to identify the outliers by, again, you know, making sure that that data is accurately analyzed and collated and segregated.
Yeah. Just thinking, co-working's been something that I've been discussing with a couple of customers and peers as well. Do you see that as well? And how can you integrate that? I mean, when you're at the co-working, you don't have, I've worked at a co-working, but I don't know about the behind the scenes that much. How do you make sure you still have that seamless approach, that you still get the data points of how many people show up at the co-working, for example, how happy they are there when you don't have your tools there necessarily?
I think even co-working spaces will have these type of technology because you already have to book a space when you go to a WeWork office anyways, for example. So you already have that type of, I would call it a non kind of sensor or employee data point that is automatically collected. It's a manual collection, meaning you have to physically go and log on and book the space for WeWork. And then when you get there, someone physically checks you in and gives you your badge and makes sure that you are who you say that you are to enter the building. I think collaborative spaces will still exist. They may have some type of more additional protocols related to health and safety, because you have a higher level of traffic coming into that building than you would normally have that is managed through like a central HR team or active directory of a sort. So I think that the smart solutions will still be deployed within hubs or collaborative spaces because they have to. So they'll have to be able to still have data collection points to potentially report on and or manage for traceability purposes. I mean, the way in which we have worked, COVID has changed everything, you know, basically almost all aspects of our life. And it certainly has touched upon how we work, whether it's through remote working now or the types of spaces that we want to engage in, how we create moments that matter or feeling a sense of community and belonging within our teams and identifying certainly how we go back into the office.
You've mentioned in your survey came out, people want to work from home 2 to 3 days a week. I think I've seen different surveys from other companies and across companies as well. I still see comments though from companies who say we're going to go back to the way we were before. Actually, I saw surveys. I come from Germany. A lot of people in Germany believe things have not changed and they will go back to the office 9 to 5 every day of the week again. Not sure where that's coming from. It seems we're very old-fashioned in Germany. Do you see that difference between industries as well?
Certainly. I think higher education and obviously manufacturing, engineering, facility management, more of kind of your hard services per se, those will be difficult as they have been difficult to fully go to a work from home type of model. But other industries are certainly very flexible, like technology, financial services to some respect, for example. So you can have a blended approach, but definitely. And I think we even see it in different geos as well. So different geographies and countries. And I have team members that work for me on my team in Germany, and they work for me, so they don't have to go into the office if they don't want to. I encourage them to go before COVID happened, you know, a couple times a week to form those networks, those connections with people that are invaluable. But certainly different industries are a bit more, I think, reluctant, slow to change. And whereas JLL, we're probably considering ourselves to be moving towards a future fit organization, which on an organizational maturity spectrum, you know, really kind of moves you out into a very mature type of organization where we're trying to focus on the well-being of our employees whilst making sure that we're maintaining, you know, the ledger, the P&L at the end of the day. We're still making money.
Modeling the way you imagine the industry should go, right? I'd come to my final questions, and it's one that I like a lot because it is, if you could magically solve any real estate problem, what would it be?
If I could magically solve one real estate problem, I would probably, well, that's a tough one.
If it's like that, if I could ask the fairy for one thing, I'd ask for 3 more wishes.
I'd ask for 3 more problems to solve. If I could solve one problem, I think it would be to move organizations from the short-term approach and really get them thinking about what is next. So we're trying to solve the very current and immediate need, getting back into the office, but what comes after that? And I think that identifying additional pain points outside of just this, you know, very singular problem statement that we're trying to solve really allows you to look more and investigate the type of solution that you're investing in for the immediate need to make sure that it is going to be a longer term investment.
That's a very good one. And then my last one, it's a selfish one a little bit because I always ask, who else should I talk to on the podcast? And what would you like to ask them?
So I have a great colleague. She's in America. I don't know if it should be European, but we work on our diversity and inclusion global committee together. And I think that looking at diversity and inclusion within corporate real estate, how it's changing, what type of changes are we seeing, what major initiatives are being promoted, would be interesting.
Yes, I love that idea. Especially since we are creating a little bit of divergence between people being on-site and remote as well. So it's another level of
disengagement potentially.
Exactly. So yeah, I love that. Thank you so much, Melanie.
Thank you.
I suspected it that it would be good insights, and it were.
Great. Good.
Thanks for listening. If you have enjoyed this episode of The Workplace Leader, there is more. Go visit our blog and have a look at some of the other topics we have covered. We have just released a study on corporate real estate in the US that you can download there. Or tune into our next episode of The Workplace Leader.